weekend we have Dr. Jackson.
And looking forward to hearing more. So Dr. Ekman is you founded the Becoming What God Intended organization. He frequents, how many times did you say you go to China a year?
3 to 5 times.
3 to 5 times a year China. So does some great things with the universities and
house churches.
So glad that he's here, and glad that we have him speaking with us. So, let's give Dr. Ekman one more.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I've never spoken in an Amish church before. An Amish church is where all the males are on one side, and all the females are.
Hey!
Well, it's a Chinese Amish church.
Yeah, a Chinese Amish church. But typically in an Amish church, they have them facing each other. All the guys are on one side, all the women are on the other side, they're facing each other, and the speaker and the deacons and the elders are in the middle. So this looks somewhat. And then the other part of it, it's like I'm in the middle of an eagle, because the wing goes out that way and the wing goes out that way, so I'll have the joy of looking like this. Out to there, out to there, and would it be possible to actually create a circle? Otherwise I'm going to become quite dizzy before the day is over. If they can be put in a circular kind of thing, you still don't have to go near those guys. Don't go anywhere. You're near there. Create a circle. Yes.
I just realized I read one of your books.
You did?
Yes.
Which one? The workbook.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the chapter.
Yeah. Yep. And there's 11 more you can read. You have the weekend to finish them all. So what we're going to do is talk about gender differences. As I was driving here, Gail and I were discussing topics, and we realized that we would be dealing with younger folks, so we thought what would be a really interesting topic to address, to chat about, and concluded that gender differences would be a good one. A number of years ago, I was up in Portland, Oregon, speaking, and I was talking on the topic of gender differences, and one of the pastors, after I was done talking, walked up and he said, "Here is a picture that shows the difference between females and males." And he showed me this picture, and it was this. He said that males are, males are simple, straightforward, uncomplicated, and females have many more complications involved with them. And I saw that and I immediately said, "Could I get that picture?" So he sent it to me from his phone, and that's the picture up there. And the topic for this morning and the topic for the second talk is actually gender differences and how the genders differ. So let me ask you, what is your name? Lillian. What is the difference between males and females?
Chromosomes.
Okay. And how do they differ? Okay. That's absolutely clear and very helpful. So, what is your name?
Howell.
Howell. Okay. What's the difference between males and females? Well, on one hand, there was a response that we're not quite sure what the implications are. And on the other hand, there is silence. So I suspect that this might be a worthwhile topic to step into. When I was 5 years of age, which is exactly 65 years ago, I ran into something that I have been thinking about ever since. I was in kindergarten, and I noticed that there were boxes of crayons. There was a box of 6 crayons. There's a box of 12 crayons. There's a box of 24 crayons. And there was a box of 60 crayons. And the strangest thing, I'm not quite sure 5-year-olds should be allowed to even think this way, but I thought, who exactly would ever use a box of 60 crayons? Because I thought a box of 6 crayons would be perfect for me to use. And then I opened up the box of 60 crayons, and I pulled out a white crayon, and I had a white piece of paper, and I rubbed the white crayon on the white piece of paper, and it was white. And I thought, why would anyone need all of those crayons? Well, 35 years later, I found out the answer to that whole business of the crayons in the crayon box. And it's this. Young girls use 10 or more crayons per picture, on the average, according to the researchers. And young girls draw subjects. When you draw, what is your name? You're going to have to speak loud.
Tori.
Tori! What do you draw?
I draw
Okay. Okay. And then, boys use at most 6 crayons per picture. And I thought to myself, that's too many. And typically, they would draw action, something exploding, something jumping, something moving. But characteristically, they would draw things that had activity involved. Then, in dealing with kids who are 1.5 years old, they had no gender consciousness. They weren't aware if they were male or if they were female. But almost typically, boys preferred trucks over dolls and vice versa for girls. And same results went all the way down to 9-month-old kids. You put a doll in front of a girl, baby, 9-month-old, or a truck, they would tend towards the truck, typically. Then, in this book called Why Gender Matters, they list differences between young girls, young boys, teenage girls. And they said it is that boys, girls, males, females play differently, learn differently, fight differently, hear differently, and teenage girls process emotions in the cerebral cortex. That's the thinking part of the brain. And teenage boys in a thing called the amygdala, which is in the middle of the brain, and that generates emotions up to the thinking part of the brain. The processes are different. What does it mean play differently? I have a friend who used to be a referee for college basketball. And I asked him, I said, what's the difference between being a referee for a men's basketball game and a women's basketball game? And he said, here's the big difference. When you have a men's basketball game and a fight breaks out, you know it's going to happen. You can see it coming. That the guys are just showing anger towards each other, saying things to each other, and eventually they start punching each other. But he said the difference is, as a referee, he never knows when some young woman basketball player is going to smash an opponent with an elbow. It just comes out of nowhere. It's always a surprise. It's always an ambush. And it's sneaky. While with the guys, it's just brutally straightforward. And also, they hear differently. The male ear is gauged or oriented differently than the female ear. The female ear is designed to hear the human voice. The male ear is designed to hear sounds that are outside the voice, the sound of the voice. So a few years ago, my wife informed me that I was going deaf. And she said, you have to go for a hearing test. She said that for several months, and I finally made an appointment, and I went. The audiologist, the person who tests hearing, tested me for well over an hour. And she said to me, you have normal hearing for a man your age. And I said, that's not good enough. If I go back home and tell my wife I have normal hearing,
she will consider you incompetent, and she will send me for another test, because she is convinced I'm going deaf. And she started laughing. And she said, I have had hundreds of wives send in their husbands for hearing tests. Not one of those men needed a hearing aid. Not one. And I've only had one wife sent in here by her husband for a hearing test, and that lady needed a hearing aid. And then she said, tell this to your wife. When you talk to your husband, look at him. And talk to him while you're looking at him. Otherwise, he may not hear you at all. Why did she say that? Because women typically assume that they can be looking in any direction and another woman would hear them. And they assume that's true of men, and it's not. Because the hearing is actually gauged differently, or set differently. Here's a comment by a researcher that says second grade girls were more like 25-year-old women than they were like second grade boys. Meaning there's a consistency to the pattern of how females act, and even though the male and the female may be in second grade together, they are completely dissimilar, while a 25-year-old woman and a second grade girl have more in common. Yes? If you can extrapolate to other cultures. The fellow who wrote particularly that book on why gender matters, he had a PhD and also a medical degree. So I think he would be taking that into account. Now that's a guess, though. That's a guess. Facial recognition. What researchers have noticed is that newborn babies, look at faces. Newborn boys just follow activity. And what they also said is that facial recognition is actually inbred in the brain. And when a baby's born, it has the capacity to actually read the faces of the people who are looking at the baby, so that if the adult smiles at the baby smiles back, because the baby's brain is already geared to understand a human smile. Then, males and females see differently. What is your name?
Joanna.
Say it again.
Joanna.
Joanna. All of you will have to speak a little bit out. I have normal hearing for a man my age, which means I'm half deaf. So, Joanna and all of you, be kind to the old and speak a little bit louder. Do you think females have better color sense than males? Okay. What's your name?
Vicky.
Vicky, you think females have better sense, color sense, than males? Why do you say that? Okay, she has a better sense of what looks good. What's your name? Jethro. and you spoke loud enough for me to hear you the first time around. Do you think guys have better color sense than girls?
I don't know. I use
color sense. Being able to coordinate clothes better. Nope. What's your name?
Matthew.
Matthew. You think guys have better color sense? They can coordinate clothes better than girls. No. And why do you say no? Your sister always complains about what you're wearing. Well, here's a little bit of an interesting statistic. 1 out of 11 males is colorblind. 1 out of 200 females. You're counting up. It's Joanna, right? Joanna's counting up the number of boys to figure out, is there a colorblind guy in there? So 1 out of 11 for guys, and what's your name? Anne? What is it 1 out of for girls? 1 out of 11 for guys, colorblind. Oh, that's too low. You're right. It's 1 out of 200. How did you know that?
You just said it.
Who said it?
You just said
it. Did I really?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go home. 1 out of 200. What was my exact sex?
Then I asked a question.
And then you said 1 out of 20? 1 out of 200. I think I'll bring more coffee. And maybe you can finish this talk if you keep up. Okay. So, also, theoretically, young women are better at reading faces than young men. And so what I'd like to do is put that to the test and have all of you stand. Could you stand? If all of you would stand. And what I'd like you to do is figure out what this face is communicating. Is this woman decisive, amused, bored, or aghast? Aghast means kind of shocked. So, decisive, amused, bored, or aghast? Okay. Now, if you get it wrong, you'll have to sit down. Well, we haven't given the answer yet.
I knew it.
The cycle. If you got it wrong, sit. Is this person doubtful, affectionate, playful, or aghast? Aghast. Shocked. Okay, figure it out. And if you get it wrong, I'll sit back. Now, aghast, fantasizing, alarmed, or impatient. And fantasizing means thinking about something sexual. So, what is she doing?
What?
Boy, that wiped out. So we're up to... Is this person being dominant, friendly, horrified, or guilty?
All of the above.
Okay. Is this person contented, apologetic, curious, or defiant? One left. Two. Two. Ashamed, confident, dispirited, joking.
Hey.
You're doing well. Okay. Oh my goodness.
What?
Embarrassed, guilty, concerned, or fantasizing?
Fantasizing about
Corey. Dude. Oh my. Now, I got to hear your answer before we show it. Aghast, baffled, distressful, terrifying. Wow. You need to become a psychologist. Come on. I think we have another one. Ashamed, nervous, indecisive, suspicious. Okay. What is your name?
Jerry,
you are the winner. Jerry has disproved the guy's whole point. Now, here's another thing from this book, Why Gender Matters. And it says that when it comes to friends, girls have typically 2 to 3 close friends, and guys have 2 to 12 friends. And let me ask you, how many close friends do you have? What is your name again?
Tori.
Close friends. Three. Okay. Let me ask you. How many close friends do you have?
A lot.
Say again. You're going to have to speak louder.
One friend.
That's it? Okay. Now the man in the blue t-shirt. How many do you have?
Zero.
And what's your name?
Nathan.
Okay. Now, when young women get together and when young guys get together, the focus, according to this, is on each other. While when guys get together, the focus is on the activity. What is your name?
Stanley.
When you get together, is it to focus on your friends or focus on an activity? When you get together, do you focus on your friends or the activity?
Both.
Okay. When you get together, do you focus on the activity or the friends?
Activity.
When you get together, do you focus on friends or activity?
Depends on what that reason we get together.
Okay. So
sometimes the focus is on the other person, if that's the artist, isn't like sort of justified.
Okay, it can go either way. When you get together, do you focus on your friends or the activity?
Friends.
Okay. When young women play games and when young guys play games, are the games the most important thing about the get-together?
Yeah.
Okay. When guys get together for games, is the focus on the game or on, is it just an excuse to meet? An excuse to get together with your friends. Now, for any of this group, is a game an excuse to get together with friends? You got one? You got two? Okay. Now, here's one that I think is fun. When it comes to conversation, when it comes to guys, is conversation necessary or central or unnecessary?
It depends.
It depends. When young women get together, is conversation central or unnecessary?
It depends.
Now, this author, the one on gender matters, says that conversation for males is practically unnecessary. Hierarchy. What's hierarchy? Rank or staff?
Yeah, it's like power.
Okay, who's in charge?
Like me, like the person with the most money.
Say that again. Okay, who's most important? Hierarchy. Who's most important? And the guy comments that hierarchy among young women is destructive. While hierarchy, or having somebody in charge among males, is really important. You look thoughtful. Why would hierarchy be destructive when a group of females get together? Okay, they would be.
Yeah, they would be seen as like yeah.
Okay. You would be saying that the females would be much more aware
yeah.
of ranking. But did you hear what you said?
Yeah.
Sort of. Did you hear what you said? Did you hear what you said?
Yeah.
What did you think of that? What about guys? Are they into, do they need hierarchy?
Yeah.
Otherwise,
yeah.
Why do guys need hierarchy?
Sort of like part of like, because you want to be better than them.
Okay, you got it. Top lower.
Shh.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Because without a leader, then everything would just fall apart for us.
Yeah. Okay. He says, guys, without a leader, everything would fall apart. Let's take a vote for the guys. What is your name again?
Matthew.
Matthew says, without a leader, guys would tend to fall apart. Up this way. Hey, guys, you five guys.
What?
Right there.
Yes, sir.
Matthew said that without a leader, guys would tend to fall apart as a group. How many would agree with him? Okay, so the next thing is, how many would disagree with him? Okay, four, and then there are about three with no opinion. What are you talking about? Very helpful. Now here's the last one of the list. Mr. Vans. Your t-shirt. Focus up here. Thank you. When it comes to self-revelation or sharing secrets, could you please come up here? Yeah. Come on up here. What's your name?
Stanley.
And?
Jeffrey.
We'll keep repeating your names until I get it.
Okay.
Here's Jeffrey and Stanley. And Stanley.
Yeah.
Okay. Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Stanley, Jeffrey's going to share a deep, dark secret of his life with you. How does that make you feel?
Weird.
He's going uncomfortable. Okay. Now, he's going to share a deep, dark secret with you. How does that make you feel? Your face says a little bit odd. What? How does that make you feel?
Yes, privilege, because like no one else knows this is right.
Okay, privilege. Privilege. Okay, thank you. Now, may I have you two? Come on. Not to repeat your names. What's your name? Repeat.
Lillian.
Lillian is going to share a deep, dark secret with you. How would that make you feel? You're not ready for it. Okay, he's going to share a deep, dark secret with you. How would that make you feel?
Awkward.
Now, what this author says is that the sharing of secrets for females is a sign of real friendship, and the sharing of secret among males is a sign of stupidity. What would you think of that? That between close friends, it's a mark of true friendship. What do you think? It's a mark of trust. Is it a mark of trust?
No.
What's the point of sharing it?
Yeah, if it's a secret, then
yeah, it's a secret.
There's no point.
No point.
Because, like, what is it?
Yeah. Secret's a secret. Well, thank you. Yeah. If you spend your time digging a hole and putting the secret in it, why put in the effort to change it? Now, here's something about sexuality. Male sexuality and female sexuality. And it says women's this author, PhD, UCLA psychologist, says women's sexuality seems closely linked to a close relationship. For women, an important goal for pleasurable sex is a committed friendship or relationship. And then she says, this is less true for men. Well, I'm not going to ask you. I'm not going to bother to ask, but my comment would be that this had to have been written by a woman, because if a man wrote it, a man would write it, this is not true for men, while a woman who wrote it said this is less true for men. So that the observation by the woman is that close friendships open the door for a sexual relationship. Here's a difference. We've talked about differences among males and females. When a male is attracted to someone, to a female, or when a female is attracted to a male, there's actually two different chemical reactions that go on. The male response is based on testosterone, and the female response is based on oxytocin. Does anybody know what oxytocin is? What's your name? H-O-W.
How do you do?
Power. Okay. Oxytocin.
Is it the primary hormone for the female endocrine system?
For what?
The female endocrine system.
I have no
idea. What is the hormone?
Another take on it, oxytocin. Oxytocin is a chemical that, when it's in the blood system, makes people feel friendly. It's called the friendship chemical. And when people are sensing friendship, they're actually experiencing oxytocin. So that what you have up here is when a male is attracted to a female, he is having a chemical response that's not based on a friendship chemical, while the female is having a response that's based on a friendship chemical. Now, this is a great question for the age group I have. Among married men, married women, single women, single men, in the last 20 years, there have been two worldwide research projects on the average, who are the happiest people in the world. On the average, who are the happiest people in the world? On the average, married men, married women, single women, single men. So what I'd like to ask you is, who would say that single men are the happiest people on the average in the world? So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6. On the average, you've got 6 for single men. On the average, single women. Who would think that single women are, on the average, the happiest people in the world? We got one. We got two. We got three. We got four. Single women, on the, you can't take two. You can only take one vote. So we got one. Single women. Okay. On the average, who believes that married women are the happiest people in the world? On the average, one says a married man with his wife present. Two, just two. On the average, how many of you think that married men are the happiest in the world? So we've got well over half of you that have no opinion. Well, what few worldwide research projects have found this consistent response? Married men, on the average, are the happiest people on the planet. Then the second happiest group are single women. The third happiest group are married women. The least happy group on the planet are single men. So, what this says is, if you're a single man, get married and you'll go from being the least happy person on the planet to happy. And if you're a single woman, you get married and you'll become less happy. Now again, this is on the average. We're going to talk a little bit about a thing called empathy or sympathy and the value of sympathy and empathy. I want to start at a different point. Okay. Back in the 1990s, in the Netherlands, they were doing research on monkeys and on the functioning of monkey brains. And they had the brains of the monkeys wired, the different parts of their brain, and they also had those wires connected to a sound system, so that when the monkey was eating, the part of the brain that would experience the sense of the food would actually produce a sound in the sound system from that part of the brain. Well, one day, a research scientist came into the laboratory where the monkeys were, and he was eating peanuts. And at another time, another research scientist was eating ice cream. Well, the first one, the guy came in eating peanuts, and suddenly the sound of eating food came out of the sound system that was connected to the monkey's brains. And the scientist thought, this is strange. I'm eating the food, and their brain is experiencing what I'm eating. Meaning he's eating the food, the monkeys are looking at him, and they're actually sensing in that part of the brain that experiences the taste of food what he was doing. Then another researcher was eating an ice cream cone. And he walked into the same lab, and again the sound system went off, indicating that the monkeys were experiencing what the guy was doing. This was in the 1990s. That opened up a whole new range of research that said that the human brain is so designed that we can sense and experience the emotions of other people. We could sense and experience the emotions of other people. And if our prize winner could come up here. And your name again?
Jerry.
Jerry. What they found, and Jerry, if you don't mind, I'll use you as an illustration. What they found was that in the human brain, there's a whole series of neurons in a circle around the brain, and that circle is designed to feel other people's emotions. And it's in a circle around the brain. And it's actually called mirror neurons. Then, Jerry, they experimented more and they found out a part of the brain that's in the very center that they call the TPJ center. And that center is used to think about other people's emotions without experiencing them, to just think about other people's emotions. Hear the difference? Mirror neurons, they would feel other people's emotions. The TPJ center, they could think about another person's emotions, but they wouldn't experience it. Both females and males have TPJ centers and mirror neurons. Here's the question. When a male begins and approaches emotions, does he start out with mirror neurons or does he start out at the TPJ center? He's watching somebody being emotional. Does he feel those emotions first, or does he think about those emotions first? Think. What's your name? Isabel.
Hi.
Hi. You follow the thing about mirror neurons?
Yes.
And the TPJ thing? You're watching somebody being emotional. Do you feel their emotions first, or do you think about their emotions first?
I feel their emotions first.
Both of you are dead on as far as this research is concerned. That the female will start with feeling the emotions first. The guy will start thinking about the emotions first. Isabel, have you ever noticed that guys laugh at other people when they have a problem or say something dumb? You do that too. Now, who does that more, guys or girls? I would go with guys. They can watch somebody trip down the stairs and they'll laugh at it. Well, I hope that most girls would go, oh, they're hurt. Would you laugh first or feel bad first? If somebody tripped down the stairs.
I laugh first.
Oh, okay, but you would be helpful. That's very decent. Well, according to this, the guy would start out with the laughing. The girl would start out feeling bad, and then they laugh. And thank you, Isabel. Thank you, Jerry. So what we're going to do is we'll stop here, and we'll continue with this topic by looking at Genesis chapter 2 this evening to see how the Bible describes gender differences. And at 12:30 we have lunch. Is that accurate? Well, let's have a word of prayer and get on our way. Our Father, we thank you for the early afternoon. We ask your blessing upon these thoughts, that they would be truly forethought. And as we look at the Bible this evening, may what we've learned here help us to understand some incredible differences. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.